Welcome to the Newborn Photography Podcast. Everything you need to know about marketing and business for newborn photographers. Hi everybody, I'm Julia and I'm the founder of Grow Your Photography Studio. Today there is a very special guest joining us to talk about wall art and products, the one and only Alex Ingram, business manager at Digital Lab. Hey Alex, welcome.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm great, and you?
Yeah, great, thank you. Getting through with our lockdown here, but no, excited to be here and talk about these products, yeah.
Same here, we are on a call between Italy and England, but we are all in the same situation. So the goal of our interview today is to help photographers choose and create products they love, they are proud of, and enjoy selling. Most of them, if not all of them, are home, so they have time to work on pricing, products, and everything. So we're going to try and help them. We'll share tips and ideas. And I also recommend to everybody to sticking with us until the end, because we will be announcing an amazing giveaway organized in partnership with Digital Lab and Maddie Rogers Photography. So, Alex, I'm sure that in our audience today, we have basically two groups of photographers. Some who've been selling products and doing IPS for quite some time and yeah, are probably looking for new products that they want to introduce. And others are the photographers who are creating now the first pricing to get started with IPS and products. And to answer something that's on everybody's mind, or at least I get asked very often by my clients, especially considering all of the changes we have faced during the last month or a year, I would say. Could you tell me, in your experience, which are the most popular products for newborn sessions, maternity sessions? Have you seen any new trends in terms of popular products in the last 12 months?
Yeah, I mean, not just for the last sort of 12 months, but you can kind of drill down into the data for the past 2 years. The actual fact, the last 12 months have been some of the busiest we've had. And I think a lot of it is increased exposure for the lab, but also, like you say, people have got time to really drill down and think about the products that they offer. And I think so many photographers have used these periods of inactivity to kind of really look at what they want to give to their clients and how they can increase the sort of margins that they get from sales. So in terms of like newborn photography, we see things like the multi-aperture frame is by far the biggest selling product that we do. And a lot of that is newborn. And I mean, that works for cake smash sitters and everything like that as well. Absolutely. So if you're doing this sort of progressive marketing strategy with your clients, so you get them in for a newborn, you get them in for a sitter, you get them in for a family shot, that sort of thing, that product works great. With maternity sessions, I think it depends a lot upon the sort of style of maternity photography that you offer. So if you go for a kind of opulent and empowering kind of imagery, something like the Fine Art Natural or the Vintage Perfect, and mainly because of the sort of the paper type that we use for that, it's like a beautiful fine art etch paper, and it really captures sort of opulent dramatic color tones within that really well. If you go for more of a stripped back lighter kind of maternity photograph, something like a Camden tray frame with a nice sort of thin Scandi style frame around there, or a traditional frame print, you know, something with just a single aperture, something really stripped back and basic, but what can look beautiful up on the wall.
Okay. And why do you think, in your opinion, these are the most popular products, especially thinking about newborn session, the multi-aperture?
Yeah, I think with the multi-aperture, I think because it allows you to capture the whole, or a glimpse of the whole session sort of thing. So many photographers, I know, their clients struggle with selecting imagery. And that's a whole other topic of conversation, probably for another video, of how many images you offer and how many images you show in an IPS session.
Absolutely.
But the multi-aperture allows you a bit more creative freedom. So if you really want to get nerdy about the statistics, you know, the 34 multi-aperture, that's the biggest selling out of all of them. I think it's mount option 2 on our website, but other labs have similar sort of layouts as well. You get your one big hero image, and then you can have your detail images, mom and dad images, or what have you. whatever the family dynamic looks like, you can encapsulate that all around the image, and it just gives a lovely big snapshot. And 30-24 is a good size to have on the wall. You know, it's not too big, Brilliant. It's not too small.
It almost, it tells a story. The
exactly. The I mean, we sell a lot to wedding photographers for the same thing, because it's almost like an album page on the frame, you know?
Okay. And let's go the opposite side of the spectrum. What do you believe are the two most underrated or overlooked products, and why should I consider selling them?
Yeah, I mean, underrated, definitely normal frame prints. You know, a lot of people, and I'm entirely guilty of this as well, we like flashy new stuff, and especially if, because we're all from creative backgrounds and stuff within the industry, we like to see our work on new flashy things, so like spheres and octagons and all that. And there is a place for that, and absolutely, and they sell very well. But a traditional frame print has been the medium people have been putting on the walls for hundreds of years. And there's a very good reason for that, because it's the best way to display your image in a nice, simple sort of fashion. There's loads of choice out there, and there's lots of opportunity to find the right kind of framing molding to suit your brand. But, you know, we sell so, so many normal single aperture frame prints, because a lot of people just have that in their mind. It's sort of ingrained that that's what you get when you go for a photo shoot. You get a frame print up on the wall, you know? So definitely 100% that has to be somewhere in your offering, because you'll always get people that will go for that sale. And then again, it's strange, because it's one of our best selling products, but something like the Fine Art Natural, simply because a lot of people don't know what it looks like, because the texture and the finish of the paper is very different to what is available and what has been available. I mean, out of all of our, so the way we split things is framed and wall art, and within wall art there's frame products, but as a standalone wall art product, the Fine Art Natural is our best selling product. But it is only a small section of our photographers that buy it, but the ones that do sell so many of them, because once it's up on the wall, the client sees it, and their client base gets used to it and gets to know the product. It sells itself.
Brilliant. Let's go back to our two photographers. So the photographer A has been selling products for a while, looking at new products. Photographer B is creating the first pricing.
Yeah.
So I, photographer, open Digital Labs website, and where do I even start from?
I mean, if you're not registered with us, registering is the great start.
Okay.
Obviously, we're a lockdown site, so it's just a quick registration process, and then it's vetted by one of our sales team. So it normally takes no more than a day to get up and running on the site. That allows you to see the pricing and get ordering and stuff like that.
Right.
But breaking it down into established photographer and new photographer to it. With established photographers, one of the main things that I come across all the time is people having stuff on the wall that doesn't sell. And it might be because it's a favorite image, or it has a personal significance to them, or something like that. But they've got wasted space up on the wall. So if something's not selling, get rid of it, try something else. And it's often hard, especially, I mean, you know, we do a lot of work for sort of social photographers, so newborn, family, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people use their own kids and family in samples because it has a personal significance to them. It's really hard to take a picture of your own baby off the wall and replace it with a stranger's, but you need to refresh your offering if something's not working, it's just dead space on the wall. So that's something massively to consider. With new people, new to IPS or new to selling products, I think getting your research in is massively important. I think really study the products. It's really important that one, pair it to your style, so you're not offering something outlandish that just doesn't work with your work. So if you're shooting newborn, you know, sometimes an aluminium print or something like that wouldn't fit with lovely soft pastel tones or however you're shooting kind of thing. But also, you've got to supply stuff that you love. You know, when you're in an IPS session, if it doesn't resonate that you love the product, you believe in the product, and you would have that on your own wall, it'll always, you know, people will always pick up on that. Which is actually why it is a good idea to have pictures of your own kids or your own family, because it adds that extra little bit of love and care to the product, you know?
Absolutely. And I believe, and I'm sure you told me you offer one-to-one free consultations for clients to help them choose?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly over this last year, we've very in and out of different lockdowns and stuff, it has given us a lot more time to do that. And it's because we can't travel to people's studios and we can't do shows and speak to people that way. It's a fantastic way of doing it. So what we've done, both myself and Emma, our account manager at the lab, we've been doing these one-to-ones because we can look at people's work, we can suggest products that one, sell and sell well, but also, you know, find stuff that suits your work, suits your brand. And also, you know, I mean, say the multi-aperture, it's our most popular product. But if you don't love that product, don't feel compelled to get it. You know, yes, take advice and yes, take input from ourselves or in different photography groups and stuff like that, you know, with you guys as well. But find stuff that you love.
I was just about to say that, because very often I've talked to photographers, to clients, and they say, yeah, this doesn't say, I don't really like it anyway. And I say, well, you shouldn't be selling it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it.
But because they sell it, because they see other people selling it. It might not work for your photography. It might not work for your client base, you know. You'll know after X amount of years in business, like if you're a photographer, the established photographer, what your clients love and what your clients go for. So you don't want to rock the boat too much, but you still want to kind of offer something new every now and again to refresh that offering.
Okay, let's go back to photographer B, so the newer one in terms of products and IPS. If I only wanted, and I guess part of the answer we've been...
Yeah.
but if I only wanted to sell four products, what would I do?
Four products is really important because, I mean, I would always advise to not sell more than 4 to 7 different types of product max. You know, I mean, we've got 30 odd different wall art options and over 130 framing options. Mm-hmm. But that's because there's so many different photographic genres and styles and stuff to cater for. You don't want to give your client too much choice, especially when you're just starting out in IPS, because that's just another objection. You know, if they have a barrier in place that they can't make the decision there and then in the IPS session or Zoom session or something like that, they'll go away, they'll think about it, and they'll, you know, a lot more likely not to go for the product. So keep it nice and concise. Four products starting out is great. I'd offer choice because if you are just starting out, you don't necessarily know A, what your customers are going to go for, and B, how you sell a certain product and how you shoot a certain product. So I would go on things that are popular for starters. So definitely a multi-aperture, something like an acrylic sphere or a birch sphere, something like that, a big show-stopping product. A traditional frame print of some kind, and a kind of art product. So that, you know, like a matte product, so something like a framed canvas or a fine art natural. So you've got high gloss, high impact acrylic as an option. So some kind of an art product, matte product, traditional frame print, and then a multi. And then that's a great starting block to go from.
So go for choice, keeping in mind these four suggestions.
Yeah, and I mean, you can drill down into what you love within those aspects. So, you know, acrylics, you can have sphere, octagon, rectangle, square, framed acrylic, tray frame acrylic, that sort of thing. But offer some kind of acrylic because you'll have customers that like that sort of high gloss, high kind of finish. But then you'll have customers that like a more muted sort of matte tones in the home, so something like a fine art natural or a framed canvas, you know.
And the opposite, so again, I have all of the kind of classic evergreen. Oh, it's good to see you with coffee because I was feeling bad drinking.
Oh no, this is needed. I mean, it's tea, but this is needed every morning now.
If I have already all of the classic, you know, the evergreen products, and I want to add something special, sort of a signature, do you have any tips for me?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, like you say, if they have these evergreen products and they've got an established customer base and they've got, you know, a defined style that they normally shoot for and they're selling products, where do you go from that? Because you should be quite happy. But I've seen so many photography studios, really well-established photography studios, not change their offering for years upon years upon years, and all of a sudden the sales decline because they're not offering anything that is fitting in people's homes anymore. And it's a bit of a mad scramble to kind of find like what's in kind of thing. So I definitely think trying something new periodically, like once a year, have a look at your product range and try something different in there. Show-stopping products, I mean, something like an acrylic sphere or a giant opulent vintage frame or something like that. Again, what fits in with your style, but is something different to offer your customers. It's great for marketing because you can blog about it. You can contact your customer base and say, look, we're bringing this new one in, and get the feedback from your customers. I mean, I know a lot of photographers have VIP groups for their customer base and people that have used them. Speak to the customers on there, see what they think, I mean, without giving away where you're getting the products from, sort of thing. But it's massively important to keep refreshing it and keep going, because if you stand still, you will fall behind eventually.
Going back to something you've mentioned quite a few times, so if when I have to choose or to make decisions about wall art in general, I am actually making decisions on at least, at the very least, three factors, so that the shape, the size, and the material, the texture.
Yes.
If we talk about shape for a moment, and this is because I get this, again, this question quite often, photographers who want to start selling orbs or similar products, can you give us some tips or guidelines to help make decisions in terms of shape?
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing is getting it right in camera, because you will drive yourself crazy if you shoot a beautiful landscape image with a family in, you want to get in an orb, it's just not going to fit, you know. Certain types of photography, certain types of images do work better in you know, shapes like the orb and stuff. I mean, essentially, it's a square crop. So what you need to do is consider it's a square crop with, you're going to lose a little bit around the edges as well. So shoot a little bit wider than normal, because you will spend hours extending backgrounds and cloning, and you're never going to get it quite right. So always consider that. And it's difficult because it's ingrained into us that we shoot in a camera style. So you either, 3-2 ratio or 4-3 ratio, that sort of thing. Throwing something in like a sphere or something like that. It's why the spheres, they're incredibly popular, but some photographers, I mean, like, you know, one of our brand ambassadors, Gary Hill, he hates them because he shoots 4-3 and that's how he perceives, that's how he thinks photographs should be viewed, sort of thing. But clients love them, you know. So, and it's a point for most products, really, because aspect ratios and everything, everyone has different ways to shoot. But something like a multi-aperture product, if you're considering that you want to sell that product, you want to offer it to your clients, and you know that it's going to do well for you, when you're in the shoot, you need to consider that you definitely need 6 images of a consistent color tone, consistent lighting, similar sort of props within them, that sort of thing, to be able to get that and put that together as a coherent story of the shoot. And again, doing that in camera beforehand is just going to save you so much time.
So they are popular products that are worth considering.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the acrylic sphere is the biggest selling acrylic product we do.
And I see, especially something you mentioned, but especially for me with younger photographers who literally just started, they feel quite intimidated. Is it a product that you recommend choosing in the beginning, or is like get comfortable selling wall art, get used to it, and then introduce these other products, kind of different products or different shapes?
It's a tricky one, because I see where you're coming from, but because it sells so well, I don't have that fear of it, sort of thing. People are buying it, and people are buying it all over the country. So it's a case of, if you are just starting out, you're not sure on the cropping or anything like that, it's a simple way to do some test shots, get some model calls in and stuff like that, and get that up so you can get the system in place, so you know that, right, if I shoot between there and there, I know I'm going to get that crop. You know, single images, if we're going back to newborn, single images of babies, like top down on like the sort of nest shots kind of thing, it's an absolute showstopper, and it will look fantastic on your wall, and it'll make clients stop and stare. Even if they don't necessarily go for the sphere, it's a conversation starter. It's something that they'll be sort of wowed by. And that might lead on to selling a more traditional frame, but it's definitely something worth considering.
Yeah. Worth considering. Okay. Another conversational question that I get asked very often. Classic canvas versus framed canvas. How do I choose between the two? And most of all, how do I help clients choose?
I think the market will actually choose for you in a lot of way, and your clients will choose for you, because and it's something that we've seen more and more over the last sort of 3-4 years, because a classic canvas, like a box canvas, yeah, mm-hmm. Because that is now readily available in so many different avenues, kind of thing. You know, you can educate your clients, and you can tell them that you've blown the face, that it's archival, it's 12 color fade resistant inks, it's museum quality cotton canvas and stuff like that. We live this industry day in, day out as photographers and labs and stuff like that. We're used to the terminology. We know what goes into the products and stuff like that. The general public don't. And it's something that we can't, again, I'm very guilty of this. I just assume that people know what a certain product is. If they see a canvas and they see something to their eyes very similar that they can get from somewhere like Asda for £40 or £50, you are not going to sell them a straightforward canvas for £300 plus sort of thing. If you put a frame on that, though, it changes the game completely, because if you've got frame canvas, or if you've got tray frame canvas or something, you know, the deep tray frames are really popular, that changes the conversation completely, because, again, it's not something that they can get readily on the high street. It's not something that they can go out and buy. You, the photographer, as the kind of authority on this, that's a product you can source, especially for them, and only you can provide it, kind of thing. That just creates a whole different conversation, and it makes it a lot more desirable product for them. So, I mean, in terms of our sales, it's 10 to 1 at least in terms of framed canvases to straightforward canvases these days.
Okay. Let's talk for a moment about prints. First question, what are the best options for newborn photographers? And also, going back to what you just said, how do I help a client make sense of the fact that one of my prints costs 10, 20, 50 times what they see at a high street photo lab?
Yeah, and I mean, we get asked this all the time. It's, I mean, prints over digital as well is a massive topic. I'll go into that in a second. But in terms of best options for, say, newborn photographers, definitely matte prints. So, I say standard, but it's, you know, our matte crystal archive C-type print. And if you want to go for a fine art print, something like the Amiga Rag, which has got really beautiful soft tones in there, they work perfectly. And if you're going to go that extra mile, go for something in a mat or a slip mount or something like that, unless you're offering them in boxes, like presentation options, because it adds so much more perceived value to the print. You know, if it's a matted print, it's ready for the client to, you know, frame further down the line or something like that. It just feels a lot more tangible, and it makes it a lot easier to justify what you were saying about the cost, because... Yeah. It's an archival print. It will last for generations. We've all seen too many bright red babies from something that's been ordered from Boots or Tesco and, you know, other supermarkets are available. And as a photographer, you don't want to see your work like that. You don't want other people to see your clients' work like that, because word of mouth is still so huge within our industry. You want them to mm-hmm. be presented in the best possible way with the correct colours and everything like that. And in terms of why it's important for the client to invest in prints, I mean, prints tell stories, prints are memories, kind of thing. It's tangible. I always go back to the sort of photographs in a tin kind of analogy, because I've got a tin of images at my parents' house with photographs going back like over 100 years of the family and stuff like that. Our photos when we were growing up in albums and everything, the brain resonates a lot more with a printed physical image than it does with something on the screen where there's distractions and we kind of consume media on screen and stuff like that. A tangible physical image just means so much more to people, and it lasts longer. You know, technology moves on massively.
Oh, absolutely.
There's computers, you know, I mean, this laptop I'm speaking on now, it doesn't have a USB port. So how are they going exactly, to actually do those images in the future? I mean, Apple aren't making computers with USB ports anymore. I mean, would you have the same feeling of nostalgia or the same lovely sort of feeling that washes over you when you look at your like parents' wedding album, if it was on like a floppy disk or something and you couldn't even view it anywhere because the technology moves on so fast?
Absolutely.
Preserving it in print just cements those images for decades.
And I think this is something that client's experience every day. Because if you think about how often you lose photos on your phone or computer or whatever, versus having, I have my parents' wedding album and it's still here. It's 50 years later. It's still
absolutely. I mean, like you say, losing stuff. I mean, mainly where I save stuff, because I'm terrible for knowing when I've saved anything. So, you know, it might still be on the computer somewhere, but God knows if I can find it.
Right. So we've spoken about many different things, and we got to the best kind of part of the process, which is ordering samples. So I've chosen my product. I'm happy with it. I need to order a sample. Yeah. Which sizes and products should I keep at the studio of the ones I've chosen?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've spoke about product choice. If you are new, definitely, you know, a good choice of options. But the main thing is, if you've got the space, go big. You know, you need to have large sized products on the wall, because it's so much easier to talk. You'll sell what you show, basically. People are very materialistic. If they see something and that's presented to them as that's the option that they go for, 9 times out of 10, that is what they're going to go for. It's a lot easier to, you know, show someone how it's going to appear on the wall. People always underestimate how big their walls are at home. Even like in the UK, new build houses are normally smaller rooms. But if you put even a 20-30 up on a wall in isolation, that will look lost unless it's part of a bigger collection. So definitely show big if you can. Even if it means you only have 3 products on display, go big.
Okay.
I mean, you know, some of the smaller studios I've worked with have got no smaller than 20-30 up on the wall, and it's all they sell. They sell 20-30s, 24-36s, 40-30s. And you know what? You make a lot more money if you're selling that rather than 16s, you know.
I guess you see it there, the client sees it there, unless they absolutely know that there is a reason why that size wouldn't work. It's the easiest choice, something like that.
Imagine that. So say they've only got a 24-inch space to play with in the home, where they wanted an alcove or something like that. You can say, absolutely, you get that product, but you can get it that size. You can't talk somebody up from a 24-inch product and say you can have this, but 60 inches wide. It's just a lot more difficult for
absolutely. Their business. They'll be like, oh, no, that's fine. That one is fine. Right, so it's time, Alex, for our announcement. I'm very, very excited. I'm absolutely thrilled to announce that Grow Your Photography Studio has partnered with Digital Lab and Maddie Rogers Photography to bring you free wall art studio samples. Our 2021 wall art giveaway is open to newborn and maternity photographers. And the 3 winners will receive a Digital Lab wall art sample of their choice for their studio entirely free of charge. Entering is easy. We want to see your best 3 images that you think will be amazing as wall art samples for your studio. And then the 3 winners will work with the Digital Lab team and Alex that's going to help you choose the best products for your needs and place the order. There's one important thing. The giveaway is open to new clients, new Digital Lab clients, or existing clients who are looking for new products. So in other words, you cannot request a sample for a product you're already selling. Just to confirm, 3 individual photographers will each receive 1 sample absolutely free of charge. To enter, we have a page, dedicated page. Visit www.growyourphotographystudio.com/wallart-giveaway before the 22nd of January 2021, and follow the instructions on the page. Again, the address is www.growyourphotographystudio.com/wallart-giveaway. So Alex, I'm really excited about this, and thank you so much for helping Grow Your Photography Studio.
My pleasure. It's been great. And like I say, I can't wait to see the images that people submit.
Absolutely.
Part of the process of like I say, in these sort of one-to-one consultations we've been doing, it's brilliant to see such a variety of different photographers that use the service, but also the kind of ideas that people have and how they're going to display them in the studio. It is really interesting. I mean, we're very lucky because we get to work in an industry where we all actually enjoy and love what we do. So I can't wait to see what people send in.
And it's also worth reminding our audience that you have a 50% off discount at the moment for some.
So we kind of expected that the UK would be back in this position come January. So again, going off last year when we realised that people did use that time to look at what they wanted offer in the studio. I think it's a great time to take stock, try something new in your studio, or make that plunge to go for IPS. So it's all ready for come March when we're allowed to open our doors again, fingers crossed. We're all ready and we've got these stunning, fantastic products to wow our customers with.
Alex, thank you so much again for being with us, and a special thank you to Maddie Rogers as well, which is part of our giveaway. I can't wait to see your amazing wall art and see you soon. Bye, Alex.
Thanks again.
Take care. Bye.